The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, December 27th, 2023, season 19, episode number 96. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And as you can see, I'm trying to take us back to September because I want to start this thing all over again and do it again. College football, pro football. I'd sign up for that if we could start it all over again. But we're not. We're toward the end of the season, and we're going
to
get you guys
ready.
Can we get
to the Super Bowl first?
No, I just want to start over. Like, that scares me. I just want to start back over in September when it's just fun and just free-flowing, and you got all the optimism and don't have all the problems that you discover during a season. But
when Aubrey's kicking the ball and it's hitting you on the right
side. That was the worst problem we had back then was, like, are you going to have a kicker?
Yeah.
And now that all resolved itself. We got so many other issues to talk about.
We know so much about kickers, don't we?
Yeah, we do. All right, so we're going to today we're going to talk about the Cowboys versus the Lions. We're going to get into the Lions offense versus the Cowboys defense. Let's start first, though, with some injury updates. What are we hearing right now about Tyron Smith?
Well, Tyron Smith, he said on yesterday with locker room availability that he's not calling it a stinger. He's like, it's not a stinger. He's saying it, his back tightened up. He said, quote unquote, it feels better. He said that they set him so that it would, quote unquote, calm down. Apparently, based upon what Tyron said on yesterday, it has calmed down. That does provide some optimism that he could possibly take the field against the Detroit Lions. If you ask McCarthy and owner and general manager Jerry Jones, they're kind of 50-50 on it right now. Of course, they still have today's practice, have a walkthrough tomorrow. So we'll know the final determination. But when it comes to Tyron, progress has been made. So that's the good news there. Jonathan Hankins, still 50-50, based on what Jerry said to 105.3 The Fan on yesterday, what McCarthy is saying. But McCarthy said he does have a chance, Hankins does, to take the field as well. He also said Tyron has a chance as well. So that goes to the progress that Tyron has made. Those are your two headliners. As it stands, they both have an opportunity. We'll see how the rest of the week goes. The rest of everyone else is just limited. Stephon Gilmore. He said that he was dealing with a rib injury that he suffered against the Miami Dolphins, but he said that he's going to play. That's what was echoed by Mike McCarthy. Stephon was limited on yesterday, but they expect that Stephon Gilmore will be on the field against the Detroit Lions, and they're going to need him because, as Brian is going to tell you guys, they've got some firepower in Detroit. The rest is basically some rest days, veteran rest days, guys limited. We had two transactions this morning that came in right a few minutes before the show kicked off. Rashawn Evans has been waived by the Cowboys to make room for the activation of Matt Wiletzko. So Wiletzko is now back from IR with that shoulder injury.
Why are you making that face, Derek?
I know he's going to get into it here in a moment. But yeah, so linebacker depth is now much more of a concern with Rashawn Evans being sent to waivers. And for those that don't know, now at this point in the season, every single person that's waived goes to the waiver wire and can be claimed. And if he's not claimed, then he'll be a free agent. He can sign wherever he wants. But Matt Wiletzko is back, and we'll see if his shoulders can allow him to stay on the field this time. But I think it's one of those things where the Cowboys saw the pressure put on Dak Prescott in the absence of Tyron Smith and said, okay, yeah, Matt, come on up and let's see what you got.
A little confused on the Rashawn Evans move. I mean, here's my thing. When you're starving, do you like turn down saltine crackers? Like, is it like?
No, they're delicious. Everything's delicious.
Everything's delicious, right? And I'm like, okay, so linebacker is the position.
They're low key very good.
Right. Literally, like, you're sitting there like,
saltine cookies.
Is this a Ritz? Like, it's like, I don't understand that, Brian. What have you seen in Rashawn Evans? I guess, what have you seen from Rashawn Evans that may suggest that maybe he's just not the answer for them and they're like, he's too much a part of the problem?
You know, the times he did play, I think that they were a little bit worried about, and it's been a struggle for the linebackers or the guys that have played. It's been a bit about awareness. It's about when you play, are you seeing everything? Are you reacting the right way? Are you? Can we trust you to play coverages? Can we trust you to play downhill? Can we trust you to fill when you have to fill? I think they're having some really struggles with that right now, and you know, and they really don't have an answer. They tried their answer, their best shot at this was trying to get Shaq Leonard. That was their best shot at it, and to try and maybe help the situation. But I think the thing with Evans is that when they put him in there, they obviously did not like what they saw, the way that he played, all the things I mentioned. You know, I mean, he didn't get a whole lot of chances to play, but the ones that he did play, you know, you kind of felt like, though, that here's a guy that in his career had been a difference maker in some teams. For this one, though, wasn't nearly around the ball near enough, wasn't nearly finishing blocks like he needed to, or excuse me, finishing plays like he needed to finish. And they deemed him as the 53rd guy, which is surprising to me, considering that I didn't think he was that bad of a player, but their thoughts and my thoughts are totally different a lot of times. And so, you know, they move on that way, but it does. It definitely weakens what they're trying to do, at least from a depth standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to probably go back and look at the special team stuff. Was Evans helping you enough on special teams to, you know, if he was, I guarantee you Bones Fossil would have been standing at Will's door saying, no, you can't do this. I need this guy. So obviously everything that about that tells them just to move on from him.
Yeah, I think there are probably, that's the thing we have to always remember, is the amount of time that the coaches are spending with these players is substantially more than what we see just on the field when we watch games and go back and watch
film.
There's the
classroom stuff.
Yeah, it's all that.
Practice stuff.
Does he have the right practice habits?
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of things involved. And I'm not saying he doesn't. All I'm saying is there are a lot more things involved in the discussion.
It's clues.
Right.
It's clues. And I've been a part of scouting staffs for 13 years, and exactly everything you just said is exactly true. You know, there's things that these coaches, like when they get to a point where they do not want a player.
Right. Regardless of what he's doing.
What he's doing as a personnel guy, you just have to say, okay, coach, you got it.
And that's the rub, right? The personnel guy's like, he can play.
Yeah.
And the coach is like, I can't coach him.
And that's the thing. You never want to bring a player to a coach that doesn't want to coach him. It's a bad mix right there. And, you know, obviously he did not do enough for what they were asking him to do on the field, you know, as a player to be part of this 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Can I say something about Hankins real quick, if I could? The thing they're struggling with right now with Hankins is he's a 330-pound man with a high ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. Usually sometimes you get lighter guys. It's a little bit more of a quicker fix. And that's what they're working through right now. They're hopeful. They're hopeful on Smith, but they're hopeful on Hankins as well. But the problem is have his size and taking on double teams and the lateral agility and all those things. Those are all weighing into them trying to get him ready to practice right now, or to play. You know, are they making progress? Like Patrick said, yes. Are they? But is it going to take more time? We'll see. We'll see. But right now, that's the biggest issue they're dealing with is his size. And they want to make sure that he's playing on both feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be a defensive tackle and playing on one leg. That's a problem. I want to ask you another question here real quick, guys, before we get into this. How much do you think Mozzie Smith weighs? Mm. If you had to guess.
I would guess
293.
See, this is the problem now. And I'm bringing up.
Has he lost a lot of weight during the season?
He's lost 40 pounds.
During the season?
He's 330 pounds coming out of
Michigan.
Out of Michigan. And we wonder. You know, we wonder. I was visiting with some.
Is he okay? That's a lot of weight to lose.
He's lost weight along the way because we've seen other guys in this. You know, Tank is a guy. When you talk to Tank, what he eats is very, very regimented. You know, you got guys. Oso Diggy as well, very regimented the way he eats. Mm-hmm. You know, not with me over there standing there waiting for the burgers, you know, and the fries right. that are excellent right. at this facility. You know, kind of going to the salad bar area.
The tater tots.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ask her about the tater tots.
Oh, my God. The tater tots.
Dangerous.
World-winning tater tots over here.
You know, and I was just talking to some folks about it, and I said, why does Mozzie look smaller on tape? He doesn't have the big rear anymore and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, no, he's down. He's down. He's lost about 40 pounds. So you wonder, they're asking him to play a role for Hankins in a role where he's more like a really a three technique.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. And so that's part of what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with being laid off the ball, but we're not the player we drafted coming out of Michigan that was 330 pounds. You know, you get a better dietitian program or whatever, but you lose 40 pounds when you're a one technique.
That's a lot of mass.
That's you're not a one technique playing at 293 pounds.
But also, just to be clear,
and I'm not making excuses for him.
No, yeah, yeah.
But this is a coach decision. This is like their
coaching. I think it's a player decision.
Well, what I've been told, and I'm not talking about Mazi specifically.
Okay.
I'm talking about different players.
Yeah.
What I've been told, I mean, there is a certain way that you're required to be depending on what they're asking you to be. If you're over or under that weight when they have to wait every week, they get fined.
Yeah. Oh, no,
you're
right.
Has to be exactly the weight that you're supposed to be. So that just leads me to think this is the weight that they're asking him to be, and it's not.
Otherwise, he'd be getting fined.
Yeah, they wouldn't have him playing. I mean, that's a lot of weight to lose.
Well, you think about what his responsibility is, and we talked about him on the draft show for an up, and you know, as we've gone through the year here, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. Again, I really am not. He's a different player.
Yeah,
he's a different player at 293 as he is to 330.
Let me ask you this. Would they have thought that maybe getting him at a smaller weight would help with his
get off.
Yeah, like right now he's not getting off as fast as you want him to. But I would think that's more of a just reaction than it is.
312?
Yeah, right.
312, 315. I mean, if you maybe kick off 8 to 10 pounds, and he's already quick. But, you know, it's just that reaction.
Right.
You know, it's the snap of the ball, and his hands are still on the ground, and everybody's moving. That's the thing that
hurts. You're not going to correct that with lower weight.
Yeah, no, but maybe he's thinking like, oh, I for movement, how I get up the field, be quicker and all that. When he gets off the ball, he can play football well for you. But I think our vision of the player is, and I'm watching him on tape, and I'm wondering, I'm like, does he look smaller? You know, and I ask, and this is what I hear. And so now all of a sudden you're thinking, this is a different football player. I'm not looking at Hankins. I'm looking at Oso Digizua is what I'm looking at. Or I'm looking at a smaller player that's asked to play as a run stopper. So when you talk about Hankins and how important he is, and there's a lot of things that go into this defense, you know, and a lot of questions about it right now, to be honest with you.
It makes me wonder, thinking about or having this conversation, first person that pops in my head is Tyrone Crawford.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Cowboys, that coaching staff had him, they pop him inside, they ask him to put on weight. Mm-hmm. They move him outside, he'd have to shed weight. Yeah. And that was kind of a yo-yo situation.
Yeah. Regularly, it was kind of moving. Yeah.
So in that, then takes me back to training camp this past summer, wherein we saw a lot of Mazi Smith packages side by side with Jonathan Hankins, which kind of makes me wonder if their plan, at least this year, was to say, okay, well, we're going to see how much we can play you alongside Hankins, maybe drop some of that weight. But that's a lot of poundage to drop.
Yeah.
40. So that does kind of pigeonhole him at the three because you're not playing 0 and 1.
Right.
You know, unless you're Micah. Yeah, you're Micah. You can do 0 and 1. You move
on pass rush downs. Right. But when you're trying to stop running,
having issues,
you're not going to hold up with 600 pounds on you.
You're already small. Yeah. You're already kind of small up front. And one of the things, and maybe one of these things too, like Ambar says, is like, okay, maybe we want to get him on the field more with Hankins.
Right.
And so how do you get him on the field more with Hankins? You play him as a traditional
three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turned him into a three. But I haven't heard anybody come out and say, we're going to start working Mazi more as a three technique.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's got to, this
All
year's come on. Sometimes these players, they lose weight through the year because they're not used to playing 17 games and having a whole training camp. And naturally, they just get beat down and they can't.
But that's a lot.
Yeah, it's 40 pounds.
And then the added problem.
You have to purposely want to lose those because, that's
and then
a lot.
The added problem is if I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I'm a betting man, I don't think Jonathan Hankins plays in this game. Now, it's obviously possible, but I just don't feel like he plays in this game. I feel like he's too valuable for what they need to do in the playoffs. So they're kind of at a situation where,
I agree.
They don't want to back into the playoffs. So they want to win these games, but they don't want to win these games at the risk of hurting the possible playoff run. And Carl Davis, bless his heart, did not look great.
No.
Did not look great. So if we got a 40-pound lighter Mozzie, plus Carl Davis not looking great, Jonathan Hankins likely not playing this particular week, that you have an issue at nose tackle, and now you just sent a linebacker packing, so now you have depth issue at linebacker, unless you're one, and I'm not one, unless you're one who thinks Buddy Johnson's going to come off the practice squad and be, you know, Bobby Wagner. You got some issues there as well. So some things to figure out for the Cowboys, to say the least.
Is there a name out there of some sort that maybe they're looking at possibly to bring in? Because
this you know, not this late in the year. Yeah. I wish that they would, if you got to the if you got in the playoffs, they'd let you take somebody off somebody's team that's not in the playoffs.
That'd be nice,
like travel baseball.
Yeah,
like you beat somebody in a tournament, you get a week to take one of their
Still
players.
Still don't know why they don't allow that.
That would be really good.
I think it's rightful. I think it's something that they should consider.
Absolutely,
it doesn't hurt anything, but it helps the competitive. Competitiveness of the playoffs.
Although knowing how the Eagles are, they would be getting everybody. You know how they are. They go. They don't mind going and getting anybody and everybody.
If you get the bye, you don't get to take a guy.
Okay, good. I like that. I like that. So then we'd be rooting for the Eagles to get the bye.
Yeah,
so they can't get anybody.
You got a bye, no guy.
Right. Here we go. All right. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Detroit offense. Man, there's some problems.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it, talk about some of the players that you should be aware of going into this weekend. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Enjoy prime dining, shopping, and experiences from over 20-plus restaurant shops and more at the Star District. Check out Women's Boutique, Fleece Style of Frisco, and the official boot partner of the Dallas Cowboys, Lucchese. Enjoy New Year's celebrations at Snowbird Cocktails Lounge, Concrete Cowboy, my favorite place, and City Works Eatery and Poorhouse. Visit thestardistrict.com for full directory.
Brian, you ever danced on the table at Concrete Cowboy?
No, but you know, after the draft, it's a good place to go have a beer.
It is.
I mean, we've done like we do our shows here, and you've spent 15 hours in this room. And you just want to go have a beer and a burger, and it's a good place to go.
I just figured
about But I've never got up on the table.
No, so. I figure after a couple of vodka waters, maybe. No coyote. Yeah. Maybe you kind of get up there and let loose.
Let Texas beat Washington in this playoff, and we'll see you up on the tables.
Yes, yeah. you will.
In your hometown of Houston.
Yes,
sure.
You will. Yes, you will. All right, let's jump in. This is the second segment of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and this segment's brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's go. Let's start with the Detroit offense. And I guess I'm going to ask you a big picture question. And you take it where you want to take it.
Yeah.
What does this offense do best, and where are they most challenged?
I think actually where they're the best is their ability. Man, it's hard to say because Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really talented player. And so he could put a lot of pressure on you catching the football. I'm going to start with these backs because I kind of feel like, though, that there's a lot of people that gave the Lions a lot of grief for drafting Jahmyr Gibbs where they got him. And then you look at him, Gibbs, and David Montgomery. These are quality backs.
Yeah.
I mean, quality backs. And you look, like last week, what you had to deal with the Dolphins. You're kind of dealing with the same kind of thing this week. But the thing with Gibbs, he is amazing kid. Started his career at Georgia Tech and then went to Alabama. He can wear multiple hats as a player. You can hand it to him. You can throw it to him. I will give you a little key, though. When they're under center, they're going to run the football. That's their thing. They do. They're one of the. When you look at the metrics, and the metrics will tell you when you watch the tape that when Goff gets under center, they're probably going to hand the ball to one of these backs. So, Cowboys, if you're in that mode, you know, there's your key right there. Check it out. I'm sure they know that just as well as I do. But, yeah, this team does not run the ball all that much out of shotgun. But when they do hand it to these guys, and I think what they want to do is they want to play under centers because they want to put Gibbs as far back as they can and then hand it to him and then let
him. When he's already running.
When he's already running. And so – I mean, he's when he runs, it's like he's on ice skates. I mean, I watch a lot of Dallas Stars hockey, and it's just kind of like he's one of these guys just going up the ice the way he plays. But he's got home run speed. He's the feel for the crease. He can hit it. He could set up the blockers. He gain an angle. And then, man, he could just hit it and go. His hands, he's got receiver-like hands. So he's really a weapon in all areas right here. And he's just that quality of a player. Montgomery doesn't have the flash of Gibbs, but he's a chain mover. Yep. You know, you hand him the ball, and it's next thing you know, it's second and six, and he's getting seven. It's second and five, he's getting six. He's just that kind of player. He's really good after contact, too. Actually, both these guys are really, really good after contact. You hit him, and then they find a way to gain extra yards. But the balance, the vision – both of these guys are really impressive players, and their line does a really good job. Where they do struggle is, I think, with some of their pass protection stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think the left side of their offensive line is particularly a strength of theirs. But as run blockers, man, they do a good job. Frank Ragnow, the center. I had problems with him coming out of Arkansas, and it reminded me of Travis Frederick. I'm like, wow, you took a guy in the first round. Proved me wrong. He proved me way wrong, the way this guy, the movement skills, the agility, all that stuff. But if they've got a problem, it's going to be on that left side with Jonah Jackson and Taylor Decker. I think are the areas that you might need to focus on if you're going after him pass rushing.
All right. I was looking at the metrics for this team. They are right now fifth in passing.
Yeah.
They are also third in rushing. So across the board, whether they're throwing or running the ball, they are very potent, and they can put up a lot of yards on you. Let's focus in on the passing for a second first. There are two guys that I want you to give us a scouting report on.
Uh-huh.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you already mentioned, and then Sam Laporta, the rookie tight end.
Okay, St. Brown is – this is how I would describe him. He's the kind of receiver who doesn't let the ball hit the turf when it comes to him and it hits his hands, it's not going to hit the ground. I mean, he is one of the most consistent, when you start to talk about ball skills of receivers that I've seen, the attention to detail that he plays with are outstanding. He's super competitive, and you could tell with the way he plays, he really loves the game. It's important to him the way he plays. And his detail is like when he runs routes, it's very heavy of just that, like I was talking about, the detail. Foot, points, where he needs to be. There's just no wasted motion when he plays. And he can put a defensive back in an area where he wants and take advantage of that. So he'll run at you, he'll move you, and now you're in trouble, and then he goes off his way and he'll go catch the football. So he's got strength in his hands. He's got quickness. He's a quality player for them. And Laporta, the question, and this came up on draft day. So if you're listening to the DallasCowboys.com, the draft show, we were talking about this because late in the process, we were hearing about Sam Laporta, tight end from Iowa, that maybe the Cowboys would select him in the first round. We were all like, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting. So in just kind of visiting with people post-draft about him, I was like, man, I was hearing whispers about this. Tight end coach and head coach really liked Sam Laporta a lot. I mean, they were on that. That was something that give Mike credit, give Linda Wells a lot of credit. They had a vision for what this player potentially could be. And as crazy as that might have sounded back then, it might have been a really wise choice to take this guy in the first round because he's a thick, compact kind of guy, but his lower body power is excellent. He's got a burst off the ball. He creates separation. He's got foot speed, physicality, toughness in the routes. He mismatch player. He's got strength. He's got speed. He's soft-handed. He's got the catch radius. He wins on contested balls. He has had some drops this year. There were a couple that I saw in the games I watched. Matter of fact, the Bears game is a kind of a fun game to watch. They really didn't. I think it has something to do, again, with golf playing outside and cold. Mm-hmm. It's kind of his kryptonite. And the Bears caught him in one of those games. And he wasn't as good as he needed to be. But they've had some drops with Laporta. But most of everything, they have 9 touchdowns. And he's kind of got solid effort, desires a run blocker. I think he's going to need to improve his sustain a little bit. But this guy's a weapon. I mean, he really is a weapon when you watch him, when you run the routes and they throw him the ball.
So looking at the rushing attack, as I said before, they're 3rd in rushing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Check this out. In 7 of the last 8 games they've played this season, they have 140-plus rushing yards.
Yeah.
This is a potent running offense. Yeah.
Wonderful. And
so here's a question I have for you guys, because in this last game that the Cowboys played, they held Mostert to 46 yards. They held Achane to 24 yards. My question for you is, what does that tell you about the Cowboys' rush defense, if anything? And I want to hear from everybody on this, but go ahead,
Pat. I've talked too much, Patrick. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it kind of goes back to a couple weeks ago when I said this Cowboys team has shown me that they can stop the opponent's run. It's just a matter of, like Brian said yesterday, it's the details. It's execution. It's first of all going in with the correct mindset and then not allowing one big gainer or something like that to demoralize you, and just keep these guys in front of you. Play sideline to sideline. And as long as you can do that, then you can keep guys like Mostert contained. You can keep guys like a prime in that moment, Austin Ekeler contained. And, I mean, talk about Achane, for example. That's one of the shiftier, speedier running backs. And for at least the first half of the season, he was one of the headliners for the Dolphins' offense. He was an afterthought against the Cowboys' rushing defense on a couple days ago, on Sunday, rather. So, I mean, that tells me they have the ability to do it, even with a guy like Jonathan Hankins injured. It's just commitment to it. It's, staying focused on the details and just making sure that everybody plays their role attacks it that way, and you can do that. So I'm not of the mindset that, oh, well, Hankins is out and, oh, woe is the world. No, I've seen this team be able to stop with Hankins and without Hankins. It's just mindset. Stay committed, play your lanes, and focus on the details.
They handle the perimeter run really well in the Miami game.
Yeah.
And so, but what you have to worry about with this group, it's a little bit more inside and outside. They're going to, this line is going to come off, they're going to come off in zone, and they're going to double, and then they're going to push, and they're going to get second level. And like Patrick's talking about, though, the reason the Cowboys play, they play with great discipline the other day. When you watch the Ravens play, it was Aisha Morrison and I were talking about this, and she goes, boy, I really admire the way the Ravens play. And I don't think the Ravens get enough credit for how physical they – everybody gives them credit for how physical and the players they have. give credit for how disciplined they play.
Yes, indeed.
They don't get out of place. And that, you know, to be really good in run defense, like Patrick was saying, you have to have fits. You have to have your nickel coming down. You have to have your safety coming down. You have to have your edges, like Tank and those guys, holding up, pushing, you know, getting guys up the field, not letting them get around the corner. You know, that's the challenge again this week. I mean, these guys are going to test the edges on you. But these guys, I think, are better running the ball inside than what the Dolphins were. That's going to be the challenge for you right there.
We've seen improvement for sure, but to me, it's always like kind of like a slippery slope where you can't have those games. And they've come out with wins, even though teams have ran the ball very well. There have been games where the Cowboys end up winning the game regardless. But we've seen those games where the running back can escape, and then there he goes. And then now that kind of becomes the trend of the game, and it's hard to stop it. So that's why I call it a slippery slope, because as soon as sometimes they allow one big play, two big play, then it just carries on throughout the whole game, and it happens like that, and then mistakes start happening. Also, you talked about playing a clean game, penalties, and those things where, you know, at key moments, and that goes on both sides of the ball, honestly. It's not just on defense, offense as well. But I think the advantage here, and I know you'll do the scouting report tomorrow for the defense, but I think the advantage here is, one, they're playing at home, and two, the offense, Cowboys offense, I think they should be able to play better and score more points than they have the last 2 weeks, which will then help the defense as well. That's one of the things this defense has been getting tired, and they've been holding on there for dear life and making it happen, but then at the end of the day, the offense hasn't pulled their part of the game.
When it comes to a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs especially, and I'm looking at the linebackers for this one, you got to try to get him at the line of scrimmage as often as possible.
Quickly,
because if he already gets past the first level and he has a lane to the second level and it's him versus your linebacker is in dire straits immediately, because he's one plant direction change. It's so difficult to square him up. Mm-hmm. So you gotta, at least, you know, for the defensive line, obviously you want that tackle at or behind the line of scrimmage. But worst case, just disrupt him and give your linebacker a chance. Because if it's a clean lane and he's staring right at your linebacker coming full speed, if you try to square up, where do you go? Because fake left, go right, and you're done. We just saw the highlight yesterday on Twitter. Oh, my God, that man has a family. He laid a grown man down with one move.
Yeah.
So careful. That's Jahmyr Gibbs' game. If you let him at the second level, your linebackers are in trouble.
Yeah, one of the things I do take from that game against the Dolphins is Mostert and Achane are both speed guys.
They are.
Jahmyr Gibbs is also a speed guy.
He is.
And so the hope is that what they did in that game, maybe they can bottle him up in the same way, and the speed won't affect him in the same way. I will say that Gibbs, in my opinion, is a little shiftier than either of those other two backs. Yeah. But that all being said, like, this is going to be a challenge. And I don't care how you dice it up, this is going to be a challenge trying to stop Gibbs and Montgomery.
Score 40 and they don't run the ball.
It's a good point. You can do that.
Ambar's plan. Score 40 and they won't run the ball.
All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Dallas defense. I actually want to talk a little bit about some of the some specific players, particularly some of the safeties and the linebackers. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the Playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Yeah, everybody should eat the little onion ring bits. It's good for you. All right, get the coverage you need this football season with Dallas Cowboys cold weather gear. Visit the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and score knit hats, hoodies, jackets, and more. Make sure you call Derek Eagleton. He'll help you get 40% off on his employee card.
I will point you directly to Amber Garcia. She will help you get 40% off with her employee
and
card.
And tater tots.
And tater tots.
And tater tots. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. This is the final segment of the break. Let's talk about the Dallas defense. I noticed something as I was going through and looking at some, something triggered. I don't even remember what it was, but I started thinking, I wonder if the Cowboys made any changes to who was playing and how much they were playing between the Bills game and then looking at the Miami game.
All right, say that once more time. I got a text there that confused me. Go ahead. Right, say it again.
So player participation. I wanted to look at player participation in the Bills game versus the Miami Dolphins game, particularly at the safety and linebacker position, because seeing how much better they played in Miami, my thought was, did they use people less or more? And I saw something very, very interesting. Damone Clark, the Buffalo game, played 92.3% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. In the Miami game, however, he only played 67.2% of the snaps. You look at Marquise Bell in the Buffalo game, 75.4% of the snaps. In the Dolphins game, 46.9% of the snaps. So both of them dropped off a significant amount. On the flip side of that, Donovan Wilson in the Bills game, 69.2% of the plays. Mm-hmm. In the Miami game, 98.4%. Mm. So almost a complete game for him.
Yep.
And by the way, I don't know that Donovan had a great game, but the run defense was better. My question is, do you think that this was just by chance, or do you think they actively were like, those two linebackers have to be on the field less for us to be better at run defense?
You going to go after one of these? You going to go after these guys a little bit?
Well, I know it's a hard question.
It's a fair question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is weird. I think Donovan Wilson is a good run player. I think he struggles seeing in pass, but he's so physical.
Fair. Yes,
and when you play him close to the line of scrimmage and ask, okay, we've seen some Arizona game, crazy angle. Next thing you know, it's out the gate kind of thing, but I think overall, you put him near the ball or around the ball or let him see the ball, he's going to go get the ball.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there's some things. I think Bell is trying his best. I think they're asking Bell to play at a superhuman level, and I think he's played his best. I mean, that's it's not like a compliment sandwich there, but it's really not. I do really feel like that he's, when he's down there in the box, he could play the run as well. But then again, his size limits when people get up on him. And I think with Clark, I just don't see the instincts. I just don't. And I don't. And we talk about the linebackers that have been able to, the great ones around here, the Dat Wins, the Dexter Coakleys, the just name them all. Sean Lee's. I mean, they see the formation and they know where the ball's going, and they just go, and they don't. They have trouble getting off blocks, and that's the thing about it. When you don't get off blocks, where Wilson will run and get away from blocks, mm-hmm. you know, they'll run, and that's where Bell needs to take more of it. He needs to run away, get away from those blocks. Don't take them on. So I think they said, hey, we're going to have to do something different, because when they do get hooked up on these blocks, we're having problems stopping the run, and they're trying to limit the number of times they have to face a 318-pound man being in their face the whole day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. No one's ever pegged Donovan Wilson as your best cover guy as far as in your safety unit. That's not his strength.
Not at all.
Yeah, his strength is playing forward. And that could be in blitz packages. It could be in run defense, things like that. That's what he's the heat-seeking missile. Brian said, see ball, get ball. And that ramping him up likely helped you in the run defense. And of course, that we talked about when it comes to Marquise Bell, for as exceptional as he's played, particularly in the context of what he's been asked to do, you give up size for that speed.
Right.
With Donovan Wilson, you're not giving up that size. Donald is a unit, right? So you have a guy who can not only disengage blocks, but he rarely is locked up on the block in the first place.
Right.
He's moving around it. He's going through it. And then when it comes to Damone Clark, we've seen flashes and we've seen games where he's played well, but you've seen games where he's kind of dipped as well. So for me and Damone, it's the lack of consistency that's kind of plaguing him at the moment. And I think that his development is kind of being stalled just a bit by LVE not being on the field.
Agree.
Because when he and LVE were on the field together, you saw him playing off of LVE a lot. You saw those two having a lot of conversations, and they still do because LVE is his biggest mentor here outside of Dan Quinn and the coaching staff. But the absence of LVE, it has layers to it. So you miss that player on the field, but you also miss what his impact is to a younger guy like Damone Clark. So with Clark not being consistent enough, and then the size that you're giving up on Bell, and Bell gets locked up in blocks sometimes, it just makes sense that you look at Donovan and say, hey, well, the more we play you forward, it's not like we're losing anything in coverage, because you're not the coverage guy as far as the safeties are concerned. So it's not an accident. It's not a crapshoot. That was obviously planned, and it worked in their favor. So we probably see it again against a running back unit like what Detroit has.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because Patrick's right, because what's going to happen, Wilson's going to fly downhill.
Yeah.
And, you can't. If you're going to deal with speed, you got to get to speed before speed gets to you.
Yeah.
And that's what Wilson, he will throw his body in there, good and bad.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is, especially in those edge perimeter runs, is you have to disrupt blocking and you have to disrupt the back. Make the back stop. And once the back stops, now you got bodies that can get there and limit the gain of what you're going to have.
And he's a guy, and I know he's had his fair share of problems this year, Donovan Wilson, as far as how he's played. But when he is good, he's a great tackler. He can really, really tackle. And that's another thing that the Cowboys defense has been struggling with the past couple of weeks, has been tackling. And I think it's as simple as who's giving you more currently. And that's not to give credit to those guys, because I think they've done a nice job. Mm-hmm. Given the situation, it's not what we need it to be or what we wish it was, but given the current situation, I give them credit to what they've done, because it is a hard job. It is something hard. Damone Clark, he came back way faster from that injury.
Yeah.
And we got to take that into account. Everybody's human. He's a human being. And we know that it takes time, even though he was, I'm not saying the staff rushed him or anything at all. They're great at rehab and everything. But I still think that after you get come back from an injury, it does take time. Even though you're healthy, it takes your body time to get adjusted and all of that. But I think that right now, Donovan Wilson, he's been improving his game, and because of that, I see it as, okay, if you're the one playing better right now, hey, we need you. Go out there, and here are more plays for you.
They miss Van Der Esch, and it's Patrick's.
Absolutely.
I mean, because Van Der Esch will say, watch the watch the zone, watch the zone, watch. You know, he's telling, you know, they're communicating, like he's talking about what's about to happen. And it was like Darren Woodson playing with Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Woody went away, Roy Williams all of a sudden what am I supposed to do here now?
Right.
You know, run or pass. And that the Woody's like, watch it. They're gonna do this. And so you know that clicked Roy Williams, and then Roy Williams could go attack.
So yes, I guess from that standpoint, and Jayron Kearse, he's playing 100% of the snaps.
Yeah.
It almost feels to me like they've just said, we're going to go back to those safeties that we had in there last year, and we're just going to have all three of them out there, and that's going to act as our last. I think it was the first play of the game, Jayron was lined up at linebacker. Yeah. Like it's. I think they've just made a decision that that's probably a better option for them than going with the inexperience. As good as he's played for what they've asked him to do of Marquise Bell, there's still some inexperience there, right? And so I think they just decided to give me some experience, and we'll see what we can do with that. You're still going to give up size with those offensive linemen, but at least you'll have more experience out there with Donovan and with Jayron Kearse.
As long as the team doesn't pound the ball at him straight ahead, they're all right.
Yeah.
When teams play on the sideline to sideline, it's a little bit easier for them to run and go make plays.
Which does concern me a bit with Montgomery, because Montgomery is going to come at you. He's coming at you. Yeah. That's the kind of running back he is. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge for them this week. All right, we appreciate Jeff.
I was out on a closing point, and when it comes to stopping the Lions offense, I'll say twofold. When it comes to rushing, again, it's about stopping at the line of scrimmage, because they're rushing yards over expectation, almost 200 yards over expectation. Yeah. So do not let them get to the second level. The biggest crux of what you want to stop for them is yards after the catch. Almost 50% from a receiving standpoint, almost 50% of the passing yards / receiving yards for that offense, Goff and those guys, are off of yaks. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, Cowboys did a great job of stopping guys up front as once they caught the ball. That's what you need in this game. If you allow them to get free, Laporte and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you let those guys get that ball and start making moves, you're in for a long day. So once they make the catch, just bring them down right there, and you'll get more third down stops than not.
Ooh, Georgia just came out right there. You see it right there.
Right. Oh, it did.
You see it right there.
Okay.
Georgia came out. That Georgia's coming out.
See, it's all because we went past 11:45.
There it is.
Once you go past 11:45, the Georgia sneaks up.
That's a wrap, man. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about this Lions defense versus the Cowboys offense. Till then, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Yields. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?